Hello again, everyone, and welcome to this edition of Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret. We are concluding the Gospel of John today. We come today to John chapter 21, beginning in verse number 1. So get your Bible, if you're able to do that. Open it up to John chapter 21, and we will begin in just a minute. I do want to quickly remind you, because we have a lot to cover today, I do want to quickly remind you that the Scripture Verse by Verse website is found at thebibleversebyverse.com, and that you can study the Bible in its entirety using my audio Bible messages right there at thebibleversebyverse.com. So check it out. Study the Word of God with me, verse by verse. And let's pray and get into the Word of God today. Father, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, John 21, verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and in this manner showed he himself. So the scene now shifts to up north. The disciples went back to their homes in Galilee. Jesus told them to go up there and that he would meet them up in Galilee. So they did. And Jesus will appear to them. And John will describe how that happened. So let's look at verse 2. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. In other words, seven of the remaining apostles were together in Galilee. Verse 3, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a boat immediately, and that night they caught nothing. I have heard preachers just tear into Peter because he suggested that they go fishing, like he committed a terrible sin. I mean, he went fishing, okay? That's all he did. He went fishing. But they accuse him of walking away from his call to preach. I mean, they accuse him of abandoning God because he got in a boat with his friends and he went fishing. You know, maybe he wanted to pick up a few extra bucks. That was their trade. I just like to tell these people sometimes, the guy went fishing, he liked to fish, he was good at it, maybe he wanted to pick up a few bucks, and he didn't do so well. Fished all night, didn't catch anything. Verse 3, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. And they went forth and entered into a boat immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. It might have been still, a little bit too dark for them to see clearly, especially from a distance. So they didn't know it was Jesus. But notice verse 5. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any food? They answered him, No. How do you think they felt after fishing all night and not catching anything? I wonder how many times they pulled in those nets. Or that big old net. And nothing in there. And so now you got a stranger on the shore yelling out, Hey, you got any food? Might have been tempted to be a little frustrated, don't you think? The guy on the shore seemed friendly enough, but I'm sure they didn't like his question. After fishing all night and catching nothing, they didn't want to hear somebody say, Hey, do you have any food? Did you catch anything? And no doubt Jesus knew what their reaction to that question would be. And that's okay, because sometimes we have to feel bad before we feel good. Sometimes we have to feel like a failure and be a failure before we obey the Word of God and seek God's blessing. Sometimes we don't do that as much as we should until we recognize that we are really a failure. Okay, we don't have what it takes. And we're more apt to believe the word of God and obey it in a circumstance like that. Verse 6, and he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and ye shall find. They cast, therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fish. Are you surprised that they did it? They fished all night. They must have been dead tired. It's early morning. They need some sleep. They didn't catch anything. And now a stranger, remember, they don't know this is Jesus. A stranger yells out to them and says, hey, throw the net on the right side of the boat. You get some fish. They didn't know it was Jesus. But Jesus knew where those fish were. And he directed his men to where those fish were. But they didn't know that it was Jesus. You say, well, then why did they do it? It was the grace of God that moved them to do what would be a blessing. Which means it was God's grace. They didn't even know what was going on, but God moved them to do it at the suggestion of a stranger. The next time it seems like you have stumbled, just stumbled into good fortune, don't you believe it? God moved you into that position. God made it happen. He orchestrated things. By his grace, he moved you. By his providence and his sovereignty, he moved you. God blessed you. Didn't have anything to do with good fortune or luck or anything like that. Verse 7. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast him into the sea. John, the apostle, was the first to recognize that this was Jesus. It was just like when him and Peter ran to the tomb. And Peter didn't recognize anything, but John ran up to the tomb. He studied it. He looked. He was the first one to figure out that Jesus had been raised from the dead. It clicked with him. Now, Peter, I don't put Peter down. He was different than John. John was different than Peter. That's fine. Peter was a man of action. He didn't think about much. He just, if something seemed right, he just did it. And God uses people like that. John was more thoughtful. It took him a while to make a decision. He studied issues, and God uses people like that too. That's why, you know, just be yourself in the Lord. Be what God has made you to be, and walk close to Jesus, and he will use you exactly the way he wants to use you specifically. Verse 8, and the other disciples came in a little boat, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. As soon then as they were come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid on it, and bread. So how about that? That's pretty nice, isn't it? By the time the apostles got to the shore with their fish, Jesus had breakfast all set for them. They could have broiled some of the fish that they caught, obviously. And they will, but I'm sure it was nice to have breakfast already prepared. Doesn't broiled fish that Jesus caught or created sound good to you? Nice to have it prepared. Jesus so often gives us more than what we need. They had fish. They could have done the work. They could have broiled it themselves. But Jesus so often gives us more than what we need. He gives us what we like. What is extra nice? Verse 10. Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. And again, you know, Christ did not need their fish. He was already broiling fish, and if it wasn't quite enough, he could have just multiplied it as he broiled it. He proved that he could do that a couple of times already. But you know what the Bible says? The Bible says in Psalm 128:2, that the righteous will eat of the fruit of their labor. And that's the way God intended it to be. The righteous will eat of the fruit of their labor. It feels good to enjoy something that you've worked for. And that's why it's so important for us to work. And it's also so very important for us to be able to enjoy the fruits of our labor. And Jesus wants his men to feel good. They caught this fish and they're going to eat it and that's going to taste extra good to them. Verse 11, Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fish, 153. And although there were yet so many, yet was not the net broken. I don't know why God recorded exactly how many fish they caught. There's some reason for it. I just haven't figured out what it is. But the thing that stood out to me is that the net wasn't broken, even though that thing was filled with big fish. Fishermen used to repair their nets at the end of each workday. Either tears, strains, holes. But this time, even though the net was filled with fish, it did not need any repair. So this was actually a double miracle. Verse 12, Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples dared ask him, who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus was Jesus. No one doubted that. They didn't quite recognize him. That's okay. We talked about this before. And I mentioned, and I'll mention it again, after we are raised, we're going to still be us. Jesus died. He arose in that physical body that he had lived in. Oh, it was much improved, but he was still Jesus. Jesus was still Jesus, and we will still be us. So I have lost my mom and my dad 20 years ago, more than that for my dad. My dad is still my dad. My mom is still my mom. Lost my brother a couple years ago. He's still who he is, or who he was, and my sister too. None of them lost their identity, and you won't lose yours either. If you're a Christian, you're not going to lose your identity. We're going to be in these bodies of ours, the same ones that we're in right now, but we're bound to look different than what we do now, much better than what we do today. And so Jesus looked different, but it was still him, and they knew it. They knew it because of the double miracle. They knew it because you know your closest friends. You recognize them by what they say and how they are, even if they don't look quite the same. Verse 13, Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. What a wonderful breakfast that was, don't you think? And just think about this. Jesus provided the fish. He broiled the fish. He told them where to throw their net to get a catch of fish. And then he invited them to join him for the breakfast that he had prepared. And then he even served them. What a kind God we have. What a giving God we have. This God that created the universe, Jesus Christ, gave us everything that we need for life and godliness. And then after we sin, he became a man and died on the cross to pay for our sins so that we wouldn't have to go to hell. And then he rose from the dead. He confined himself to a human body. And he rose from the dead. And here he is serving his men. After doing all that, he's still serving them. And you wonder why Christians love him. No wonder the Bible says to those of us who believe, to save people, Jesus is precious. You better believe it. I'll never forget hearing the story of a man from another religion. A religion that professes to believe in just one God. And he was asked, he said, do you love your God? And he said, no, we don't love our God. We fear our God. But we don't love them. See, that's not Christianity. Oh, yeah, we fear God just as a child fears a father that he knows loves him enough to discipline him. You better believe we fear God. But beneath all that is a deep, abiding love for our God, a deep, abiding love for Jesus. We serve a God who is very good to us. We serve a God that we want to serve because he's been so good to us if we are Christians. And we recognize that if we are Christians. It isn't that Christians have to serve God. Christians get to serve God. 14, this is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was risen from the dead. So Jesus appeared to them on Resurrection Sunday at night, remember? He appeared to them the following Sunday at night, and now this time up north in Galilee. 15, so when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. Jesus said to Peter, in front of everybody, evidently, Peter, do you love me more than these other guys love me? Because remember, during the Last Supper, when Jesus dropped the bombshell that everybody would forsake him that night after he was arrested, Peter said, no. He boasted, remember? No, these guys might, but I sure won't. Implying that he loved Jesus and he was more devoted to Jesus than the other apostles. Well, you know what happened. Peter failed Jesus worse than the others. Three times he denied him. The other ones didn't do that. So Jesus says, Peter, do you love me more than these guys love me? Peter says, yeah, I love him. I love you. And Jesus says, well then, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. In other words, if you like me, Peter, take care of my people. The best way to show Christ that you love him is to be kind to his followers. When you're nice to Christians, you're nice to Jesus. That's just the way it goes. 16, he saith unto him again, the second time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? Let's just stop right there for a second. Jesus to Peter again, do you love me? Peter to Jesus, as we will see, yeah. Look at, he saith unto him again, second time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, feed my sheep. Those are the kind of preachers that God wants. Those are the kind of pastors and Bible teachers that God wants. Those that love him. God's people. Christians, if you're listening to me today, I know several of you because I correspond with you. And to those of you that I correspond with regularly, it's like we're a family. And that's wonderful. There are many, many others who have never met. I know, because every now and then I'll get an email or a letter from someone who's been studying the Word of God with me for years. And I never knew they were out there. So I imagine they're just representative of many others. I never knew them. But you know what? They can listen to me and know I'm not going to lead them astray, know that I'm not going to water down the Word of God, know that they're going to get fed. Why? Because I love Jesus. That's the key. God's people need to be cared for by pastors, by Bible teachers, by ministers who love the Lord Jesus Christ more than anyone or anything, even their own selves. Because those are the only kind of Bible teachers and pastors you can trust to do the job. If you are following a pastor or listening to a Bible teacher who you know is in it for the money, who you know wants to be popular, who you know is trying to draw attention to themselves, you better turn that dial. You better turn the radio off. You better turn the TV off. You better turn the internet off and quit listening to that guy. And you better run as far and as fast away from that fella as you possibly can. Because God's people need to be cared for by ministers who love the Lord. A minister or a teacher who loves self more than God is not going to be a good minister. A minister or teacher who even loves God's people more than they love God will not be a good teacher or minister. You get in trouble when you don't put love for God first, when that's not supreme. Adam, remember? Adam loved Eve more than he loved God. So he chose to obey her rather than God, proving that he loved her more than he loved God. And that was bad for him. It was bad for Eve. It was bad for all of us. He was a poor, pathetic leader. That's what he turned out to be. A teacher needs to say and do what God wants him to say and do, even if it tastes like bad medicine, both to him and to the people that he talks to. He's got to love God enough to speak the truth, even when it's not pleasant to do. 17, he saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. Three times Peter publicly denied Christ. So Jesus gives him three opportunities to publicly affirm his devotion to him. Jesus already knew Peter's heart. He knew that Peter loved him. But Peter needed to confess this for himself. And he said it three times to make up for the three denials. Jesus kept saying, if you love me, Peter, then take care of my people. Because love for Christ is the only acceptable motive for serving Christ. God Almighty hates stale, cold, dead religiosity where you go through the motions. And I don't care what motions are, they are. If they're cold and dead and stale and they don't come from a heart that loves Jesus Christ, then you are wasting your time. God's not impressed with it. He doesn't like it. It's the only acceptable motive for serving Christ. Love for Christ is the only acceptable motive for doing anything for Jesus. Verse 18. Verily, verily, I say unto thee. Now he's talking to Peter yet. When thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walked where thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thine hands, and another shall gird thee and shall carry thee where thou wouldest not. And Jesus just told Peter that he wasn't going to die soon. But when he did die, it wasn't going to be of his own free will. His hands are going to be stretched forth and someone was going to do it to him. And he was talking about crucifixion, as we see in verse 19. This he spoke, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. That was Jesus's big command to Peter, follow me. You're going to die because of following me, but I want you to follow me. In the past, Peter had denied Christ in order to avoid persecution. In the past, Peter had failed Christ to avoid persecution. In the future, he will not fail. In the future, he will have strong faith and he will do what is right, even when it costs him something. And God will give him the courage to die for his Savior and glorify God in the process. Whatever type of life God chooses for you, and it will be different from someone else's, but whatever kind of life he chooses for you, whatever kind of death he chooses for you, it does not have to be wasted. It may not be your first choice, but it does not have to be wasted. Just obey God and be faithful to him in the midst of it, through it all, and you will glorify God, whether it's by life or death. Verse 20, then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, who also leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, who is he that betrayeth thee? Peter is following Christ. Remember? Jesus said, follow me. Okay. So he's following Christ. But then he gets a little sidetracked when he notices the Apostle John. And notice verse 21. Peter, seeing John, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? He already told me what's going to happen to me. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to die as a martyr. What about this guy? What about John? In other words, is he going to die for you also, Jesus? What will his future be like, Jesus? 22. I love Jesus' answer. This is fantastic. Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. In other words, Peter, it's none of your business. Christ did not want Peter thinking about what might happen to John. That's none of his business. That should not be his focus. He wanted Peter to think about what God wanted him to do. Every Christian ought to mind their own business and do what God wants them to do. Don't worry about what your fellow Christian is doing or not doing. They will answer to their Lord, just like you will. You focus on following Jesus. So, Jesus said, if I want John to hang around until I come back, that's none of your business. And then notice verse 23. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren, that that disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, he shall not die. But if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Jesus was misunderstood, and he was misquoted. People were running around saying, Jesus said John would never die. That's not what he said. All he said was if he wanted John to live until he returned, that wasn't anybody else's business. It's just as wrong to add to God's word as it is to take away from it. And whoever was saying these things was adding to the word of God. Verse 24, this is the disciple who testifies of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. John says, I saw and I heard everything I wrote in this book. It's all true. It can all be trusted. That's pretty amazing when you go back and you read what's in this book. 25. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. And John is not exaggerating one single bit either. He wrote this too. For starters, the second person of the Godhead. You know, there was no limit to the meaning of Jesus' words. As Almighty God, there was no limit to the meaning of the words that he spoke. You can meditate on his words forever and never reach the bottom. And as Almighty God, who has always been, there is no limit to the things that he has done. There are not enough trees to make enough paper to even to begin to write down all the things that Jesus has said and done. And that's if you just restrict it to the things that he has said and done for those 3+ years that he ministered. We just begin to scratch the surface here in the Gospel of John. Don't you wish we had a volume of everything that Jesus said and everything that Jesus did? That'd be fantastic. He gave us what we needed. And you can continue studying the books of the Bible, all 66 books of the Bible if you want to, at the Scripture Verse by Verse website, which is found at thebibleversebyverse.com. Do check it out, because there's nothing more important than the Word of God. Study the Word of God with me from Genesis through Revelation using my audio Bible messages. All you need to bring is your Bible. Everything else you need is there. Bring your Bible. Open it up to the book you want to study. Click on that book. Click on that chapter. And listen as I teach it verse by verse. That's at thebibleversebyverse.com. Please remember, I'm not underwritten by a large church or denomination, but I depend completely and totally on your support and your prayers to keep this ministry going. This has been a faith ministry for over 30 years. So please, when you take a break from studying the Word of God, click the donate button at the top of the front page at thebibleversebyverse.com and prayerfully give as God may lead. And pray for this ministry too and for me, would you? I appreciate it so much. Stand with me and let's get out the Word of God together. It's the most important thing we can do in this world. Until next time, Michael Moret for Scripture Verse by Verse. So long, everyone.